Good evening. It is an honor to be here with you. Mr. Walker, most of that stuff I cannot remember anymore. And I'm sure if I could remember it, I would not be saying it from up here. Because best I can remember, your office was on the other side of the wall from my desk. And I know you banged on that wall several times. And I knew who you was talking to. But I am glad to be here. And I want to thank the elders for the opportunity to speak tonight. I don't speak too many times. 3 times a year. And I've had a big year preaching. So I don't have real great lessons. Most of the time I take my own problems and I talk about them, and you get to eavesdrop on some of my own conversations with myself. And if I look like I get lost and totally confused, I probably did. But what I want to ask you tonight is what we have learned many things about Moses over the years. But what do you know? And what did you learn about Moses' death? What does that death actually mean to me? Remember, Moses was the man handpicked by God to carry the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of Egyptian bondage, into the promised land. This was the man who was born and put in a boat to save his life. He spent the next 40 years of his life as the prince of Egypt. He spent the next 40 years of his life as a fugitive running from justice because he killed the Egyptian man. And then God picked him, and he spent the next 40 years as God's right-hand man leading the children of Israel out of Egypt into the land of Canaan. And I mean, look at what he did. He done many great things. He probably performed more miracles than anybody recorded in the Bible other than God and Jesus. He talked to the burning bush. His rod became a serpent. He sent the 10 plagues. He crossed the river on dry land. The children of Israel wanted water. He gave them water. They wanted bread. They gave him bread. They griped because they couldn't live on bread and they wanted meat. He gave them meat. He turned bitter water to sweet water. He gave them the 10 commandments twice. He stood on the mountaintop with God twice. He had face-to-face conversations with God, and God put his hand over his face and hit him in the cleft of the rock when he passed by so he could see his back, because if he saw the face of God, he would die. This is the man that stood there with God, and I know all of these stories, but what does his death actually mean to me? He was a great man. He was a great leader. But yet he had a downfall. Remember in Numbers 8, when he disobeyed God, God told him to strike the rock. I mean, to speak to the rock. Remember, he got confused. God didn't tell him once to strike the rock. Now, can you imagine what it was like to lead 600,000 men, not counting women and children, through the desert and listen to that grumbling and that griping and that complaining? We put our kids in the car, and I hope I don't fall off this thing. We put our kids in the car, and we go on vacation. And we put them in there asleep. And Jacob raises up and hollers, "How much farther?" We hadn't got to the city limit sign of Rogersville yet. "I'm hungry. She's touching me. I can't quit looking at me. And I've only got 2 kids. 600,000 plus people grumbling and griping and complaining. I know Moses got fed up with it. He had it up to here. And he let his emotions take over and he struck that rock. And what did God tell him? "Because you didn't give me credit, you will not lead these people into the land of Canaan." Remember Jude 9. When Moses died, remember, the angel Michael and Satan had a battle, as recorded in Jude, book of Jude. over the body of Moses. Why was that body so important? Why, when he died upon the mountain, did God take his body, himself? Somehow God allowed him to die and take that body himself and take care of it. In Deuteronomy 34, it says, Moses went up on the plains of Moab and the mountains of Nebo and the top of Pisgah, and he looked over the land of Canaan. From the north to the south, he saw everything. But thou shalt not go over. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the words of the Lord, and he was buried in the valley in the land of Moab, and no man knoweth the sepulchre until this day. And Moses was 120 years when he died, and his eyes were not dim, nor his nature or his strength failing. 120-year-old, and God buried him. Why? Why did he not want the children of Israel to know where Moses was buried? I tell you, I believe, because if Satan had got that body, he would have let them people build an altar. He would have built a shrine. He would have built a monument. And the children of Israel who followed Moses and took care of every need they had for 40 years, they would have stayed on that side of the river and not crossed into the land of Canaan, and God couldn't allow it. The death of Moses means I can't stand where I am. I got to look at God and I got to keep going. That's what that death means. Because if we just stand here, we're not going nowhere. And we worship things. I got a friend of mine who's got this little, she's from India, and she worshiped this little god. It's sitting on her desk. Religions. Every religion has their own little gods that they worship. And we have the same thing. We got the cars, the house, the money, the job. It's just we don't have the little statue. But if they'd have had that statue, they would have stood there and not done what God wanted them to, and they would not have crossed over into that land. In verse 8 of Deuteronomy 34, it says, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning of Moses was ended. Let me tell you something else the death of Moses tells me. It tells me that death hurts. The loss of a loved one hurts. Moses had led and took care of every one of their needs for 40 years. Now they were stuck in the middle of the desert with no leader. I buried my dad May 23rd. And if you've buried somebody, you know it hurts. You don't get over it. People tell me that time heals. But a man told me, he said, time don't heal. It just allows you time to deal with it. Lady told me the other day, she said, my husband's been gone 17 years. The 16th year was the hardest year I'd ever had. Moses' death tells me that death hurts. But guess what? God took care of me. He didn't leave me alone. And he didn't leave the children of Israel alone. He will send somebody. There will be somebody to help you. And if not, God is there. You turn to him. You look to him. The death of Moses means there is no death for those in Christ. Remember Mount Transfiguration, Matthew 17. Peter, James, and John are standing with Jesus, and they look up and they see Moses and Elijah standing there with Jesus. And how in the world did they know it was Moses and Elijah? They didn't get a text from a phone. They didn't have a camera. But they knew who it was. And we know that the death of a loved one and the death of a Christian are standing there with Moses and Elijah and Jesus. Remember, these are two of the men in the Bible that standing there, Moses and Elijah, that God took. Two of the three that were never buried by man. He took them and they was there. 4 weeks after my dad died. 2 weeks later, a buddy of mine's dad died. And we're talking about our dads. And it still hurts. And it still hurts today. But you know, what he told me hurt him worse than what it hurts me. Because he said, Johnny, he said, I know your dad, and I know he was a Christian. My dad wasn't. You will see yours again. I won't never see mine again. The death of Moses tells me that as long as I'm trying, I'll be okay. See, no matter how good I think I am, I can mess up. No matter how popular I become, no matter how many thousands of people know me, I can still be brought down. And no matter how talented I am, I can be replaced. The death of Moses tells me that somebody better step up. And that's the biggest thing I get out of the death of Moses, is that somebody better step up. Because you see, Moses had a job to do, and he didn't get to finish that job. His job was to carry the children of Egypt into the land of Canaan, and he didn't make it. He stopped short of that goal. We make excuses all the time because we don't want to step up. I just want to sit there and slide by and do nothing. Let me tell you, a preacher's job is to take this congregation from this point to here. That's his job. Somebody else better step up and take it from here to here. Brother, I'm going to pick on you a little bit now. Your job years ago was to carry this congregation so far. And then you left, and Charles came in. Charles carried this congregation so far. And now you're back, and you've got to carry it so far. And guess what? I hate to tell you, but you're going to die. And somebody better be ready to step up and carry this congregation to the next level. Song leaders, you're not going to be here forever. Somebody better be ready to step up and take the place of the song leader. Bible school teachers. Man, I can remember my third, fourth, and fifth grade Bible school teacher, Mama Lou, Miss Varnell, and Miss Huey. What was their job? Their job was to teach me in the grades 3, 4, and 5. Somebody else took me from 6, 7, and 8. Somebody else took me from 9, 10, and 11th grade. Somebody else took me as a senior. That's their job. And somebody better step up and take over when somebody else does. Otherwise, we're going to be left in the desert forever. Brother J.O. Sabas, preacher in New York, took that job in that congregation and said, in 3 years, we want to be on TV. And he said, we got 2.5 song leaders. He said, we got 2 good song leaders and 1 that's only halfway good. Anyway, you only used him on Wednesday night. He said, but our job is to be on TV, and our job is to take that half a song leader we got and train him to be good enough to be on TV. And that's what we got to start doing. We got to step up. We got to train teachers. But a lot of times we just take a teacher and throw them into a classroom and ask them questions they don't know and scare them to death, just like I was when I walked in that back door tonight. Because you never know what to expect. Now, I've seen people sit in the auditorium all their life and never said a prayer. You know, it's not hard to say a prayer. We got little kids at Rogersville that will come up and say a prayer and lead a song. Guess what? It ain't pitched right. It don't matter to God. The prayer, it don't have to be long. God, thanks for loving me, forgiving my sins, and help me to do better. Amen. It don't take a whole lot to please God, but it takes something, and we just can't sit there. Somebody better step up. If I go back and look at Moses, see, Moses never got buried by man. He never had a funeral. He never got the tombstone or the monument that we lay on the grave today. And you go out there and you look at the tombstones and it says, in loving memory, a loving father, a loving mother. What do you think Moses' tombstone would say on it? How about Moses, prince of Egypt? Moses, the murderer of an Egyptian. Shepherd in the wilderness. Moses, a leader of thousands. Moses, the man who failed God and never saw God's glory. The man who never entered Canaan. Joshua 1. What Moses' tombstone would say is in the first verse, I believe. It says, now after his death, Moses, the servant of God. See, Moses knew he wasn't going into the Canaan land. He knew it, but what did he not do? He didn't quit. He didn't give up. How many times when we know we're not going to be able to finish something, we quit? How many jobs, man, you got at the house that you started 10 years ago and that you've never finished? Now, that's just material things. But when we don't finish what we start for God, even though things get in the way, we've got to finish them. Moses didn't give up because he knew he wasn't going to get to go into that land in Canaan. He still put his faith in God and he done everything God wanted him to be. We idolize people and say, well, I want to be able to quote the Bible like Gus Nichols, but I don't want to put the effort into it. Or I want to be like the preacher who's got the good knowledge of history, but I don't want to put no effort into it. Look, quit being what you think God wants you to be and be what God needs you to be. If it's just a third and fourth grade Bible school teacher, that's what? That's what he needs. But yet we always want to do something greater, but we don't want to put the time into it. And when we start putting the time into it, we give up too easy. You can imagine at Moses' death what was going through the mind of the children of Israel. We no longer have a leader. We're going to be out here in this wilderness forever. Over 600,000 men. Go back in the book of Numbers and count them. Ken, I want you to step up, and I want you, and I get to pick on you because you're the only name I know. I want you to step up, and I want you to lead these 2.3 million people into the land of Canaan. You know the first thing going through my mind? Get somebody else, God. They won't listen to me. Can you imagine what went through Joshua's mind? I imagine he was scared to death. He was by himself. He had never been a leader. He had always been a follower. When Dad died, I didn't know how to catch a cow. We had built our whole farm on a two-man operation. I couldn't even go out there and catch a cow. I had to figure it out. I had to step up and figure out what I had to do. Can you imagine Joshua trying to fill Moses' shoes? Listen to this. And there arose not a prophet since Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and wonders which the Lord has sent and done into the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and all the land and in all the mighty hand and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. See, everybody knew Moses. People of Jericho knew Moses. They knew Moses was coming. The land of Canaan knew Moses was coming. And they knew what he had done and they were scared to death. And can you imagine what Joshua felt knowing that he had to fill those shoes? Joshua 1, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over to Jordan, thou and all the people, into the land which I have given them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given you, as I said unto Moses. Yeah, Joshua was scared. He was scared to step up, but he did it anyway, because he didn't look at the past. You can't live in the past. Joshua was not leading the same group of people that Moses led. And you can't have the same leader forever, because things change. We can't live in the past and not go forward. Sometimes we want to hang on to the past and not move. Things that didn't work for the church years ago, they won't work again. But with a different leader, they'll work. Sometimes we say we can't see the forest for the trees, and it'll never happen. We have to grow, and we have to trust God, and we have to move forward. We can't stay babes in Christ forever, and that's what we want to do many times. If we're not maturing, we're not growing. If we're not growing, then we're not moving. And if I'm not moving, I'm standing still. And once I'm standing still in the middle of the desert and not following God, I get left behind in that desert. And let me tell you, when God comes again, you don't want to be left behind. But somebody's got to step up. When Moses died, somebody has to step up. When the preacher's not here, or the song leader, or the Bible school teacher, somebody's got to step up. When there's no elders or deacons, somebody's got to step up. Moses' death tells me somebody better step up. Joshua stepped up, and he was scared. But he had one thing going for him, the same thing we got. Verse 5 of Joshua 1. Halfway through verse 5, it says, "As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." That's all I got to know. I'm not the best song leader in the world, but with God behind me, it don't matter. I may not lead the best prayer in the world, but with God behind me, it don't matter. Look at verse 9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go." Wherever you go. There is not a time he's not with me. There is not a time he will ever leave me or forsake me. He didn't leave the children of Israel in their time when they thought all was gone. Death of Moses tells me many things. But the most important thing I think it tells us is somebody better step up and lead. See, we've only got one job to do. Not many jobs, not different jobs. We've got one job to do. Mark 4. My only job God expects me to do is to sow the seed. You know the parable of the sower. All he told him to do was to sow. You spread the seed. Some of it falls in the rock, it ain't going to take root. You spread the seed. Some of it falls in the thorns, and it'll grow and it'll get choked out. You sow the seed. Some falls on the rock, and the sun burns it up. You sow the seed, and some of it will fall on good ground, and I will nourish it, and it will bring forth abundance. See, that's all God told me to do. He didn't tell me to worry about the harvest. It's out there. He told me to step up and sow the seed. death of Moses, it's many things. But to me, the most important is when Moses died. No matter how scared you are, no matter how terrified you are, you got to step up for God's call. If there's anyone here tonight who needs to recommit because the world will drag you down if you let it, believe me, I know. We get caught in a rut. We forget to look to God many times. We think I can do it on my own. Let me tell you, you can't. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have nothing. And He needs somebody to stand up. If you're willing to stand up or you need Christ in your life in any way tonight, there's no better time than right now while we stand and sing.